Windscape. Chapter 6. The Discussion. At the kitchen table, the conversation soon turned to the subject of the protesters. "What a bunch of absolute nutters," said Mr. Murdoch. Jenny studied his face, trying to get the measure of the man who had hidden their letters. Why had he kept back so many? What was in the letter she'd bundled into her duffel bag upstairs? What would an insurance company want with her father? "Jenny," he prompted. "Yes?" She stared blankly at Mr. Murdoch for a few moments before nodding her head. I think they are very sad people too," she said. "Dangerous people, you mean," added Sandy. "They think they know what's best for this island, and they don't even come from here." "Apart from Belfield," added Mrs. Murdoch. "And I thought he was a decent man." "You never can tell these days," said Mr. Murdoch. "Deluded into all sorts of demonstrations and stuff, according to Constable MacGregor." Sandy became more animated as he shovelled the mince and crusty potato into his big mouth. "I mean, windmills are good for the environment. They'll soon produce more than 20% of their energy up here. They've got to be better than nuclear power or coal or oil or any of that stuff." Although Sandy was a nasty bully, he wasn't daft. Jenny wondered who'd planted all those facts in his warped brain. "Why do you say that?" said Jenny. "What do you think?" said Sandy. "Well," said Jenny, "I think they ruined the place." Jenny was relieved that the conversation was steering away from her prowess in the piano. Mr. Murdoch stopped munching. "Ruin the place? They churn up the peat bogs and..." "Peat bogs," replied Sandy. "You've been listening to Pavel too much. I suppose he told you that windmills act like big food blenders, mincing up all the birds that fly past." "Not in so many words," said Jenny. She suddenly felt a bit stupid. "See," shrieked Sandy. "I told you Pavel's bad news, Dad." His dad wiped the gravy from his knife on the edge of his plate and said, "Pavel isn't a bad lad, Sandy. His head's just up in the clouds from time to time." Sandy guffawed. "He's a..." Mr. Murdoch thumped the table. "His father is a good shepherd, so don't go causing any more problems with your name-calling. Got it?" There was a long, drawn-out silence at the table. All Jenny could hear was the clink of dishes and the rattle of cutlery. Jenny liked this. The Murdochs fighting amongst themselves kept her thoughts away from her piano playing. She decided to break the silence and keep the conversation going in this direction for a bit longer. "It's not just Pavel who questions the wind farms, you know." "Really?" said Mr. Murdoch. "Mrs. Harper in school says the peat bogs are like Scotland's lungs," said Jenny. "Like what?" laughed Mrs. Murdoch, spraying the tabletop with a mixture of spit, potato and tomato sauce. "Like Scotland's lungs," pressed Jenny. "You see, we don't have a rainforest or anything, but we do have peat bogs. 17% of the whole world's blanket bog is here in Scotland, pumping out oxygen, helping us all breathe." "Blanket bog?" said Mr. Murdoch. "Why, you'd think you were one of those protesters yourself, Jenny, the way you're spouting out nonsense like that." "I like to learn that kind of stuff at school. I like to hear all sides of a story." "Is that right?" said Mr. Murdoch. "I'll have to have a word with the school. A teacher filling children's heads with stuff and nonsense like that." "So," said Sandy, pointedly, "you'd rather have our skies full of black smoke, or our beaches littered with radioactive waste?" Jenny was used to this tone. It was Sandy Murdoch's big bully tone, the one he used to threaten the younger kids like her. This time, it was Sandy who thumped his fist down on the table. "It's only a few windmills. The sheep can still graze around about them. I don't understand why you're defending the nutters that caused your dad to..." "Sandy!" warned Mrs. Murdoch. Jenny wondered why Mr. Murdoch didn't tell Sandy off for being rude too. If she'd talked to anyone like that in her house, in front of her father, he would have grounded her for a week. She felt the anger inside her begin to boil again. "It's not just the windmills themselves. It's the roads and the concrete and the pilings and all the other stuff that goes along with them." She caught her breath. "Besides, I don't even care about all that. I don't want my beautiful beach or any part of our farm spoiled by those things." Mr. Murdoch slowly shook his head. "There are a lot of people depending on them. There are a lot of people around here suffering real hardship. Still boiling, Jenny answered. I don't see any signs of hardship here. Sitting in the gleaming new kitchen, with the best of everything at their fingertips, Jenny guessed it was probably going to be a bit awkward for the Murdochs to come back at her now. Aye, we're better off than most, admitted Mr. Murdoch, though only through hard work and careful investment. Yeah, thought Jenny, you're going to make another fortune from this wind farm too, aren't you? Mr. Murdoch took a slurp of tea and then looked her straight in the eye. The wind farm is coming, whether you, Pavel, or any bunch of deluded protesters like it or not. It's called progress. Jenny couldn't swallow. Her throat became dry. Without my dad, said Sandy, none of you wee crofters would be able to stay here. Sandy, warned Mrs. Murdoch once more. The picture of her father lying on the beach, his face drained of colour and his eyes closed, flooded back into her mind. I wondered if I could call the hospital in Glasgow now, just to see if my dad's all right, said Jenny. Mr. Murdoch eyed the cream-coloured phone that hung from the kitchen wall and sighed. That's not going to be possible tonight, Jenny. At first, Jenny felt regret at speaking out so bluntly against the Murdochs. They were her hosts, after all. But her regret soon changed into a tingle of fear that slithered round the back of her neck and down her spine. Mr. Murdoch looked kind enough, but there was a darkness in his eyes that she couldn't fathom. I thought you said it would be all right to phone Mr. Murdoch back in the jeep. She wondered if the Murdochs were going to punish her now for saying too much, for simply saying what she believed. Mr. Murdoch hesitated. Well, normally it would have been fine to use the phone, Jenny. No problem whatsoever, but... Mrs. Murdoch and Sandy both stared at Mr. Murdoch, as if they too were interested to see how he'd managed to palm it off. They took your father to the Vale of Leven Hospital at first, but he's been transferred to the Royal Alexandria in Paisley now, said Mr. Murdoch. Mrs. Murdoch screwed up her podgy face mid-munch and asked, to the cardiology unit? Yes, dear. I called him on the way here. It's best if we let them do their stuff just now. But he'll be worried about me and Lord, said Jenny. Her voice wavered. He'll want to talk to me. Mr. Murdoch avoided eye contact and resumed spooning extra gravy over his shepherd's pie. I told the staff nurse I'd let your father know, as soon as he wakes, that you're both safe and sound. Jenny could tell it was all a big lie. Sandy Murdoch stifled a grin like someone in the know. She would have to read the official-looking letter as soon as she could. She would go back home to her own house tonight. Not hungry anymore? Asked Mrs. Murdoch. Jenny stared down at her half-eaten dinner. No, I know, said Sandy. You'd rather play us something on the piano. Your face is as white as a sheet, said Mrs. Murdoch. You've had a hard day. I'd like an early night, please. I feel a bit sick, said Jenny. She waited for the response, for their permission. Off you go then, said Mr. Murdoch. But Dad, protested Sandy, I wanted to hear her play Highland Cathedral. Be quiet, Sandy. Leave her alone, snapped Mrs. Murdoch. As Jenny climbed the stairs to the guest room, she could hear them talking about her in the kitchen. Sandy was moaning about missing her playing the piano. At the top of the landing, she lingered for a moment in front of the bedroom door, then pushed it open. She froze on the spot. Someone was sitting on her bed.